Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. We will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat, or just because they're a Republican, and you voted that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there who are working for your benefit, and we are going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them. We're going to ask them questions. We're going to let you ask them questions. And we're going to be discussing education system, the military, science, music, sports, oh, and healthcare. Do you have it? Do you need it? Are your 26-year-olds still on the family health care plan? Or, as the regressive party says, Obamacare. We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word. And everything from the cities, counties, state, nation, the entire world. So sit down and get a pencil, paper, and take this graduate education experience. And we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
Well, this is a, I don't know what this is, but this is a date which I didn't think I'd get to, and I'm not quite sure I am there yet, because I have been having major, major problems with the U-verse, AT&T, and I hate to say that because they have been so great, but it's been incredible. We have not been able to get to an area where we can get a program. Can't do it. I don't know what the hell the story is, but they have been having a major problem with a signal now. I don't know if everybody knows. You have these major systems that go all across the world. They're no longer using copper wire. You know, copper wire, it's copper and it's a wire that they are in these cables that we have. They use fiber optic now. Now, if you don't know what a fiber optic is, it's actually it's a glass cord. It's not a cord like you know. It's a strand. And it's wrapped up, many of them, sometimes 250, sometimes 500. I understand now like 1,200. And each one of these cords that are inside there, 1,200 of them, they're about the size of your hair on your head. And each one can send a signal out to wherever they want it to go. Now, back in the old days, when I was working on cable systems in the Air Force and whatnot, and in civilian life also, you had to have, if you wanted to send a signal we'll just take a telephone signal. We won't go into radar. It's a little different. We'll take a telephone signal. You want to send it, you want to call your mother in, who's two doors away. You want to call her on the phone. Well, you're all in this one cable, this bundle. And what it does is that it will send a signal from your house to her house by this cable. And this, well, now it's a fiber optic, but we'll talk about that later. But it's a copper wire, and it will send a signal down, and it will ring her house. If she pick up the phone, you can talk. But they don't do that anymore. They have, well, it operates the same way. But what they do is they have copper wire. Not no longer using copper wire. They're using a fiber optic now, which operates the same way. And they'll have many more wires in that one bundle, because so it can go to many more people. And it can be smaller now since it's the size of your hair. You can have 1,000 in that one bundle. So you can go out to 1,000 different people. But of course, they're not, if you're in the neighborhood, they're not going to do that. Down in your area. Well, I live down in the end of a cul-de-sac, and we have about 14 houses on it. So they're not going to send 1,000 bundle down my block. What it will come down my major thoroughfare up to the block for me, and that might have like 600 in it. And down my block, they might only have 40 or 50. The others are all spares. You only got 14 houses. You don't need 40 or 50. All right? And what happens is it will send a signal down. It will pick up. You call your mother. She lives two doors from me. It will operate the same way. Now, with the copper wire, this runs by it doesn't run by itself. Something has to make it run. And what makes it run is power. Now, power, when you have power and copper wire together, the power cable would leak. It has a what they call induction. It sends a transmission outside of its case, maybe about 4 or 5 inches. And sometimes, if the power signal wasn't properly shielded, that means wrapped up, where none of this, a very limited amount of this, what they call induction, would get out, it could interfere with the signal line. Therefore, you get interrupted signal. Well, what they did when they put in fiber optics, that eliminated that. Couldn't you not? The copper wire is not going to be, it's going to be very, 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 very limited, the amount of time that it would be interrupted, because that's one of the main reasons they found out that they wanted to use this copper wire, because it did not get interrupted by induction or the power from the power cable overriding the signal. Well, anyway, we've had an interruption. I mean, it just got worse since January. I have been interrupted so many times. My grandson, Blake, who has doing his homework here through school because he was doing virtual, doing it from my house, not his mother's house. Mother and father working, but so he'd do it right from here, and he'd get interrupted. Boom. The teachers think that he's cutting class. And I told him, look, I'm in the room with him. He ain't cutting class. They said, hey, we can't do this no more. We need they need special a written letter. They wouldn't believe me. I really pissed at that. But hey, what's that? I spoke to AT&T. He said, well, we really don't do that. I said, look, you're going to do that. I've been an AT&T member for over 40 years. I want a GAM letter. So they said, look, I spoke to people down in Texas where main office is, and I have a brand new system. They took all the wires out of my house, put in new wiring and a new modem, and I'm still having a problem. So he said, look, we will get this together for you. And we, as soon as we finish up, find out what the problem is, we will say, no, I need it before the problem, because the quarter is ending. So, and mother said, look, we're going to send him back to school now, because he's going to fail this quarter, because he's missed 8 classes. All right. That's one thing. All right, so he's going back to school starting Monday. All right, that's that. Now, I'm still having problems. I missed 8 shows in a row. I mean, this is getting outrageous. So I don't know if this show is going to be interrupted. I don't even know if I'm even transmitting right now. So here's the thing. What we're going to do is we're going to, as a matter of fact, my studio is so screwed up here, I don't even know if what I'm doing is getting out. And I'm looking at the studio here. I assume that it's getting out. And but my studio is not working like it normally worked. I can't call up. I'm going to try to call up something now, some music. I want to see if I can pull it up. I just typed it in. Let's see what happens here. All right. Music came up. Let's see. But I don't have any of my music. I don't have any of my music. Now, that is outrageous. Don't have any of it. As a matter of fact, let's see if I can go down. When I type it in, I don't even know. I've lost so many shows here. I don't even know if this will even... No, let's see. Nope. This is unbelievable. Nope, I don't even know if I can. No, I can't even get down to my shows. I have no idea what's going on. Anyway, so this is where we're at. This is where we're at. I can't even get into my episodes that I wanted to play for everyone. But so what I'm going to do, let's see if I'm trying to, it seems like it's very slowly coming back up, but I just don't see anything where it's where I can come up with anything like this. It's just so incredible. It is just so incredible. And I'm trying to see if I can get into you. Let's see. Can I? Will that? Nope, will not let me do that. Now, that is incredible. That is... let's see. No, see? Let's see. I don't need to quiet. We see? That is just unbelievable. That's just unbelievable. And I don't even know if I can even, let's see if that works. Let's see how this works. It's loading up something here. Let's see. Now, see, I don't know what this thing is now. I have no idea. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to try to do is, for this episode, I don't know how long it's going to last, and there it came up with something. That is unbelievable. I see, you're not looking at the same thing I'm looking at, but I am going to try to load up a program that I wanted to play for you all. It's a great podcast. If you can't get it now, you need to try to get it. It's the Michael Cohen podcast. Michael Cohen podcast. You need to get this. this podcast, and I'm trying to see if I can get it up here. Let's see. And let's see here if I can get on here. Okay. So let's see. I'm going to see if this will upload it. And I want you all to listen to it if you can. And it's processing it now. Let's see if this, because anyway, Michael Cohen, everybody knows Michael Cohen, he went to jail, Otisville, for lying to Congress. And he wrote a book that the Trump syndrome sycophants tried to prevent him from putting out. But you all need to get this podcast. I haven't listened to it. He has many on there. Many on there. But you need to try to get this podcast. And people, you need to understand something. There has been so many things that is completely outrageous about this whole nightmare we've been in for 4 years. People need to understand why this has happened. We have this, the Trump himself, has been averaging more than 50 misleading claims a day. This is the President of the United States of America. This is not the President of Saudi Arabia. Well, no President of Saudi Arabia. President of Slovakia or South America country somewhere. This is the President of the United States. States. Now, a president is higher than a prime minister. Prime minister is normally the person, the prime minister is equivalent to our Secretary of State. England doesn't have a president, they have a prime minister. Their president really is the Queen, but she doesn't govern. So what we're trying to say is here, when we have the President of the United States, which is actually the strongest country in the world, and this human being, I use that term loosely, lies 50, more than 50 times a day. I mean, one of the biggest lies that he said is that he's passed the biggest tax cut in history. That's a complete lie. Reagan passed. His tax cut, know what it ranks? It ranks like 8th in biggest tax cuts. 8! 8 people passed bigger tax cuts than this fool. 8 different people. I mean, It's just outrageous. His second biggest lie, and this one was over 262 times, about building a wall. He's not building a wall. The wall that he supposedly had people out building was walls where the wall fell down, and they were touching it up or building it back up. That's not building a new wall. He's never built a new wall. Never built a new wall. And all he does when he goes out to these rallies, He doesn't talk about anything that talks about how the country how he's going to help the country. He doesn't talk about that. See, I got a call from AT&T right now. Now, see, this is SR Radio. Let me put this on. Let me put this on for you, ladies and gentlemen, and then we can get back to you.
Mr. Dave, it was yet another extraordinary day of news, which began with the President of the United States calling into live national television and explicitly threatening to obstruct justice by interfering with the investigation into his campaign, his aides, family members, and himself.
You look at the corruption at the top of the FBI, it's a disgrace. And our Justice Department, which I try and stay away from, but at some point, I won't.
At some point, I won't. And that was just one part of a genuinely unnerving performance by the president first thing this morning, an unhinged 30-minute rant that, according to reports, is not all that different from how he spends much of his day on the phone with confidants outside the White House. According to the New York Times, Maggie Haberman, Trump aides fought for months to keep him from doing what he did this morning, slash the thing that makes him happiest, just calling Fox and Friends and talking as if it was one of his private conversations. It's not hard to see why his staff did not want him to do this. While the president was raving like a worked-up talk radio caller, you could actually watch the hosts, his most friendly interviewers, squirm in their seats and try to steer him away from the brink of self-immolation. One day after Trump lawyer Michael Cohen invoked the Fifth Amendment in the Stormy Daniels civil case, the president publicly weighed in on Cohen's legal troubles. The prosecutors have already put his comments to use today, just a few hours later, in federal court. But more on that coming up. The president also brought up, entirely unprompted, his overnight stay in Moscow in 2013, which would, of course, be the scene of the most salacious allegations in the infamous Steele dossier. But over and over again, the president kept coming back to the Justice Department's investigation of him and the possibility of intervening to try and make it stop.
Because of the fact that they have this witch hunt going on with people in the Justice Department that shouldn't be there, they have a witch hunt against the President of the United States going on, I've taken the position, and I don't have to take this position, and maybe I'll change, that I will not be involved with the Justice Department. I will wait till this is over. It's a total... It's all lies, and it's a horrible thing that's going on, a horrible thing. So I'm very disappointed in my Justice Department. But because of the fact that it's going on, and I think you'll understand this, I have decided that I won't be involved. I may change my mind at some point, mm-hmm. because what's going on is a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace.
Last year, you said in the first month, I give myself an A for effort and a C for messaging. How would you grade yourself now?
Look, I'm fighting a battle against a horrible group of deep-seated people, drain the swamp, that are coming up with all sorts of phony charges against me, and they're not bringing up real charges against the other side. So we have a phony deal going on, and it's a cloud over my head, and I've been able to really escape that cloud because the message now, everyone knows it's a fix, okay? It's a witch hunt, and they know that, and I've been able to message it. I would give myself an A+.
The whole thing went so off the rails. The host eventually had to cut off the President of the United States to make him wrap things up.
Does it make you want to talk to Mueller and put an end to it? Does it make you want to talk to him? Because that's what Rudy Giuliani...
Well, if I can, the problem is that it's such, if you take a look, they're so conflicted. The people that are doing the investigation, you have 13 people that are Democrats. You have Hillary Clinton people. You have people that worked on Hillary Clinton's foundation. They're all, I don't mean Democrats. I mean like the real deal. And then you look at the phony Lisa Page and Strzok and the memos back and forth in the FBI. And you look at the corruption at the top of the FBI. It's a disgrace. And our Justice Department, which I try and stay away from, but at some point I won't. Our Justice Department should be looking at that kind of stuff, not the nonsense of collusion with Russia. There is no collusion with me and Russia. And everyone knows it.
Everyone, we could talk to you all day, but it looks like you have a million things to do.
Well,
but I hope you can join us again.
looks like you have a million things to do. For more on the president's threats to interfere with the Justice Department, I'm joined by Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal, who sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and MSNBC legal analyst Benjamin Wittes, editor-in-chief of the Lawfare Blog Center. Let me start with you. Your reaction to the president saying, I stay away from the Justice Department, but not for long.
An ominous, clear threat to people who are properly and legitimately investigating not only his campaign's collusion with Russia, but also obstruction of justice by him. And there is now a credible, even compelling case of obstruction of justice against the president of the United States. And that kind of rant and diatribe are exactly the reason why today the Judiciary Committee of the United States Senate voted out favorably to the floor of the Senate a measure to protect the special counsel. And that vote was 14-7. Four Republicans sided with us in a measure that was thoughtful and reasonable as a result of Chairman Grassley taking the lead on their side. There is mounting alarm among my Republican as well as Democratic colleagues that this unhinged type of threat and intimidation is actually a case of obstruction of justice unfolding in real time.
Ben, what did you make of that this morning?
Well, so at one level, of course, it's totally unsurprising. We know he's willing to intervene in the Justice Department because he's done it before, right? He did it privately in a number of meetings with the FBI director. He's done it publicly in vociferously whining about the Attorney General's recusals. And he has done it very publicly in demanding the prosecutions of individuals, particularly Hillary Clinton, and also insisting that on the outcome of the Russia investigation, no collusion, ! And so in some ways, all he's doing here is reading the stage directions, right? He's saying that I haven't interfered in the Justice Department, which is, of course, false, but I might, which is, of course, something he's already done.
Hmm. There's opposition to the bill that was voted out of the committee to protect Robert Mueller that it was expressed by Senator Cornyn of the leadership. I want to play you what he said about why he's opposing it and get your response to that point. Take a listen.
So that's the first reason I will vote against the legislation, because it's unconstitutional. Secondly, I believe it's unnecessary. The president is not going to fire Director Mueller, I believe, because the repercussions of doing so would be disastrous for his presidency and for the country. Third, this bill will not be taken up on the Senate floor. Fourth, the House will not pass it. Fifth, the president will not sign it, nor should he.
Your reaction?
Well, let's take it one by one. The constitutional argument is a red herring, and plainly we have overcome it. Number two, the idea that this bill won't be brought to the floor is based on wishful thinking and denial, with all due respect to the majority leader. I think he is hoping that it will be unnecessary, but the mounting evidence is a groundswell of support within the United States Senate.
Really? You really think that?
The vote today, I never would have predicted just 2 months ago. 14-7, that's 2-1 on the Judiciary Committee. Four of our Republican colleagues siding with it. The vote today, well, there probably would be no vote today because of the majority leader's view. But if there were one, I think it would be very evenly split because my Republican colleagues have this growing sense of alarm.
Ben, one of the points of contention and one of the most interesting parts of the Comey memos is the president affirmatively talking about the Moscow trip and appearing to affirmatively lie about it out of nowhere. Today, he returned to this topic again, unprompted. He just brought it up. It's clearly on the front of his mind to talk about the Moscow trip. I want to play that and get your response, knowing James Comey as well as you do. Take a listen.
He didn't write those memos accurately. He put a lot of phony stuff. For instance, I went to Russia for a day or two, because I own the Miss Universe pageant. So I went there to watch it because it was near Moscow. He said, I didn't stay there at night. Of course I stayed there. I stayed there a very short period of time, but of course I stayed. Well, his memo said I left immediately. I never said that. I never said I left immediately.
You think James Comey lied about that?
I can't imagine James Comey lied about that in a memo to himself. Much less can I imagine that he lied about it to the public. Look, in any dispute between Jim Comey and Donald Trump, you have to keep in mind that one of them is Donald Trump, and the other is a person with whatever you think of judgments that he made, whatever you think of, you know, his decision making in any of several issues. He is somebody with a reputation for honesty and truth telling, and so I just resolve any dispute factually between the two of them as, who are you going to believe?
I would note just in closing that the president does something very sort of subtle in that, where he claims that Comey claimed he didn't stay there overnight, and then says, of course I stay there overnight.
Right. But in fact, Comey in fact just reported that the president, said he didn't stay there overnight. And the president appears to have, as best as I can tell, appears to have misstated the fact to Comey, and now is imputing the misstatement of fact to Jim. That's a nice trick if you can get away with it, but I don't think anybody who reads the memo will fall for it.
All right, Senator Richard Blumenthal here in New York. Good to have you, and Ben Wittes, thank you both for your time tonight. I really appreciate it. For more on this morning's extraordinary performance by the President of the United States, Barbara Boxer, former U.S. Senator from California, founder of PAC for a Change, and MSNBC political analyst Josh Earnest, who is the White House press secretary to President Barack Obama. And having served that role, if you put on your press secretary cap, what did you think watching the president this morning?
Well, you know, Chris, what's extraordinary about it is I was actually thinking in the car today about the most probably the most controversial interview that President Obama did in his 8 years in the White House, at least controversial with the White House press corps. And it's an interview he did with a woman named Glozell Green. She was a YouTube star. She had millions of followers on her YouTube channel.
I remember.
Her distinguishing feature was that she wears green lipstick in these videos. And the thing about it, Chris, is that we always made the case, even to White House journalists who were insulted that President Obama would talk to Glozell Green instead of them, was that we never viewed an interview with Glozell Green as a substitute for engaging on a factual basis with professional journalists. We actually saw it as an opportunity for us to expand the audience and to go to people who may not be getting political news. And what's striking to me about this, Chris, is that President Trump always only goes to the same source, and it explains why his base is loyal but small and not growing. And, you know, even in watching the interview and some of the clips that you played today, you know, the journalists who were sitting on that couch, the hosts who were sitting on that couch, were not pushing back. They weren't suggesting that somehow President Trump was saying things that weren't true, even though he was. It was almost as if they were sitting there listening to somebody leave a rambling voicemail message. And it was almost like, Mr. President, at the tone, please give us your thoughts about Michael Cohen.
Senator Boxer, do you think your former colleagues in the Senate watch this sort of thing, and what goes through their head?
Well, I watched it, and I'll tell you what went through my head. I think Fox and Friends should give up doing their version of the news, and instead they should become online therapists. It's perfect. They can have people call in who were narcissistic, paranoid, upset, frustrated, and angry. And they'll do better at that. This was incredible. And in all seriousness, they looked so uncomfortable. And I've never been on a news show when the person like you would say, you must be so busy. Bye. Usually they say, we're running out of time. We've really enjoyed, you know, your, thank you very much. They said, you must be so busy. He could have stayed on there all day, rambling, undermining his own attorneys by saying that Cohn was hardly even his attorney, admitting that he knew about Stormy Daniels, and on and on.
You know, that's a really great point, Senator. Josh, you have been in the situation, of course. What usually happens with the President of the United States, and I've been on the other side of this with principals, is the journalist wants as much time as possible. If you agree to 20 minutes, they keep going, 22, 23. And you, as the press secretary, sit there going, nope, got to get them out, got to get them out. And this was the reverse. The president seemed game for however long, and he got cut off by the interviewers.
yeah, that's exactly what happened, Chris. And there is this dynamic. dynamic where usually there's, you know, Mr. President, I've just got two more questions I want to try to get to. But, you know, Chris, even the prep for this interview must have been extraordinary, even if there was any. You know, typically in a conventional White House, you would have a team sitting down with the president talking about even putting this interview on the calendar and making sure there was a goal that was trying to
right.
be achieved, a message he wanted to deliver to a particular audience. There'd be a memo that would be submitted to him a day or two in advance with the topics he could expect to come up in the interview. And then you certainly would have an in-person briefing immediately before the interview where the president would gather senior members of his team, policy experts. He's going to talk about North Korea. You'd have a national security advisor there to make sure that he had the latest information that he could convey on national television. In this case, it's pretty clear that the White House staff was watching the interview on television just like everybody else as President Trump paced the halls of the White House residence in his bathrobe.
Why do you think, Senator, he doesn't do any interviews with anyone other than these small selected outlets?
Well, I think one reason is he doesn't remember what he said from one day to the next. As we know, the New York Times has documented more than 2,000 lies. And one thing I learned early on as a member of the Senate and before that the House and before that local government is this. Don't say one thing to one person and one thing to another.
Right.
That's what this guy does. And he can't keep track of it. So I think he's too afraid to go on a program where people will actually hold him accountable. We saw what he said in the past about people who take the Fifth Amendment. He said that they were part of the mob. Now his sometime attorney, Michael Cohen, takes the Fifth. I mean, how is he going to respond if you were to ask him that question? But the last thing I'd say is, I want to say what Josh says is so right. And I never prepped a president. But I was prepped even as a United States senator. Now I'm not prepped at all. So this is just me.
It doesn't show.
But when you called me, when you called me when I was a senator, I sat around with the staff and I said, what if he asked this or that or the other? Because I wanted to be prepared and I wanted to be informed and I wanted to look good for the people of California.
Yeah, and you wanted to take care and you cared and you exerted care. That's a thing that members of the Congress and Senate, Republicans and Democrats will do, put in some effort on that front. Barbara Boxer and Josh Earnest, it's great to have you both.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Still to come, the president makes an admission on Fox News about Stormy Daniels that is cited in court mere hours later. We'll talk about just how damaging that rambling interview was for him legally in 2 minutes.
Okay, well, I was trying, the studio is trying to come back up, but what I wanted to get to today is, let me get my microphone fixed here, was the Michael Cohen storyline. And I want everybody to go to, it's called, well, you can just type in Michael Cohen podcast, or you can type in, after you do that, you can call them all up. He has about 15 up there so far. But the introduction, which I think everybody needs to hear, I'm going to play right now. If this plays, and it's only about 5 minutes long, but you need to hear it because we're going to play the introduction to the Trump syndrome. Now, you have to remember, Michael Cohen, man from New York, Queens, Brooklyn, he was sucked into this. But not just because he didn't know what he was doing. He was doing this, he thought, for his family, so he says. But I believe he got into this because he wanted power also. Now he's seen what has happened when you want to do this. He has seen what it means to be sucked into something like this. He's lost everything. But he still has his family, which is the one good thing about it. When this is all over, January 20th, Trump won't even have a family because they will all be getting subpoenas. 1 minute after 12 on the 20th, Donald J. Trump will be issued at least three subpoenas, at least three, and his kids will be issued subpoenas. They will be throwing subpoenas out quicker than you can deal cards in Las Vegas. But let's just listen to this particular podcast. Michael Cohen will explain how he got into it.
The Chief Justice and the Associate Justices of the Supreme Court of the United States. Oh, yay, oh, yay, oh, yay.
This is Michael Cohen, and you're listening to the Mea Culpa podcast. As I write this introduction, less than 12 hours has passed since Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg succumbed to pancreatic cancer at the age of 87.
Supreme Court Associate Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has died at the age of 87.
According to Jewish tradition, a person who dies on Rosh Hashanah, which began Friday, is called a tzaddik, a person of great righteousness. In her life and her actions, Justice Ginsburg was a beacon of righteousness, and she shall be remembered as such. But I am not here to recite the Kaddish for Justice Ginsburg, or even to honor her incredible legacy. As a disgraced and disbarred former attorney, it would simply make me into a hypocrite. So I'll spare you the crocodile tears and summation of her life spent fighting for gender equality. There are others much more worthy of delivering such a eulogy than myself. The front page of the New York Times would be a good place to start, followed by the impassioned words of former Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama. Rather, I'm interested in discussing how Justice Ginsburg's passing is like manna from heaven for President Trump in these final 50 days before the general election.
And that's why the Supreme Court is so important. The next president will get one, two, three, or four Supreme Court justices. I had to. This is going to be the most important election, in my opinion, in the history of our country. You got to get it right. Because if you don't get it right, we will not have a country anymore. You're not going to have a country, not as we know it.
And here lies my expertise. Not in constitutional law, but the inner mind and temperament of Donald J. Trump. And yes, he may be deranged, bordering on sociopathic, a lunatic in the mold of a fascist dictator, but he is not a fool. And with the passing of Justice Ginsburg, he has an opportunity now to reframe the entire conversation around this one central issue for the remainder of the election, allowing him to pivot away from his bungling of COVID-19 and destruction of the very fabric of our civil society by carrying the torch for the one issue that matters to his conservative and evangelical base, the stacking of the Supreme Court of the United States with conservative judges.
So I have to make a decision to fill the seat, as we say. We should have a new campaign. Let's make a T-shirt, fill the seat, okay? What? My people are so good, tomorrow it'll be all over the place, fill the seat. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Fill the seat.
It's a central part of the tacit agreement made between evangelical and conservative Trump supporters and the president. They agreed to look the other way on his ethical flaws, his sexual deviance, lies, and corruption. And he agrees to rubber stamp their conservative agenda and appoint their preferred judges to the federal courts.
We will defend the dignity of work and the sanctity of life.
Let me make this painfully clear, though. Trump doesn't give a shit about these issues. He openly laughs at evangelical Christians and mocks their beliefs. For him, it's simply a means to an end, a marriage of convenience. And with the passing of Justice Ginsburg, he holds the ultimate Trump card, reminding them of his importance. And from an ideological standpoint, the stakes are really massive. This one appointment could change the entire trajectory of the court for a generation. Again, Trump cares not one iota about these issues, unless it involves the dismantling of Obamacare, but that comes more from his racist hatred of Obama than the law itself. This is about the naked exercise of power and his ability to engender fealty from his base. He craves being important, being needed, and finally, he's been called to duty on the one thing his base actually needs from him. Never mind the abject failure of his administration to protect millions of Americans from infection and hundreds of thousands from death and financial ruin. The key for those of us with a voice and a platform is to remain steadfast in reminding Americans of who Donald J. Trump truly is, both as a person and a politician. The power to appoint judges to the highest court in the land, it's a sacred trust granted to him by the electorate. He intends to exploit and abuse that trust to distract from his failures as a leader. Only now, he has the backing of his entire base of evangelical Christian fanatics, for whom he is their Messiah. But more on that later in this episode. All you need to remember is what I repeat time and time and time again. Donald J. Trump cares for no one or anything other than himself.
This is my miracle.
Well, how is that? I mean, and he's got more. I mean, it's really, and I am having trouble loading this up on my my website, so I don't see, and I've been trying while I was doing that whole thing. I was trying to see how I could get the other show loaded up here. And I don't see how I can get it loaded up. I don't see how I can. There's something that's interfering with the with my studio. So, but anyway, Donald J. Trump. This man, we are going, well, I only got another 7 minutes left, but we have a show that when I am able to get my long distance 3-hour show back on the air without interference from UVerse or Skype or the studio here, when I'm able, we are going to have, and I'm hoping that I can get it done this week when I get my answers back from AT&T. They call me this afternoon. So what I am going to do is I wanted to see if I could get another edition here, but it won't let me add any. So I'm going to try to, I don't know how I can override the studio here. I don't know how I can override it and put it in anyway, because it's there, but I just can't see it on my list here. I don't know how I can put it in, but anyway, that was a great introduction to Mea Culpa, Michael Cohen. But we're going to have a lot more involved in getting things done once the information can be taken out and once things can be changed. I have so many things that I can probably try to change here, but I don't know whether or not, so I can get more information over to you guys. But I can't even, I'm going to try later when I'm finished here to, I'm going to try to finish my, add on to my website, if my website is up ready, because that was down for 5 months, between Google and between Wix. We could not find out who was responsible for putting my show up. And then when they put the show up, I couldn't add anything. This has been a rut. Since this coronavirus come up, I've had so much problems with my website, I just don't know what the hell the story is. I just don't know. It has been unbelievable. And right now, I'm looking at my studio. I can't add a damn thing. And I don't understand why. I just can't add a damn thing. And it's as I erase some stuff that I had in my studio, I erase it, and it still don't help me. It still does not help me. I erase it, and it still does not help me. And I don't know if I'm actually erasing it, so I'll have to go back in. Yes, I did. I erased it. I looked back in my studio, and it's not there. It's not there. So I don't know what the story is. I have no idea. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this has been, a presentation that I wanted to bring to you guys. There has been some other stuff here that I wanted to get to you guys also, but I have been unable to do it because I could not add anything to my broadcast. But we have a few minutes left, but I want to tell you some more information with this fool keeps saying. This is what the orange man keeps saying. We are winning right now, and they know it. So get off the phone and work your asses off. I'm telling this to, this is what Trump was telling to his team, and his team was rolling their eyes. They were rolling their eyes. Right now, this is what Trump. Now, they're also going to be investigating him for so many things come after January. The daggone, whoever the new attorney general is going to have so much work just for him. Just on, not anything else, just on him. He's going to, the new attorney general, whether it's he or she, is going to have to hire 1,000 new assistant attorney generals because they're missing a few. So many have quit. So many have quit in the DOJ. It's unbelievable. So many people have quit. Do you know out of 400 people that's in the White House, he hasn't hired but 100, 150? Not even 150? They're working with a shell because he does not want people to know what he's doing because you can't. The more people you hire, the more people you have working, the more slippage and the more things can leak out. So he does not hire people. He wants to work with the same core group of 10 people that he had when he was daggone in private industry. This is not a private industry. This is a worldwide organization. And all these people are going to be gone. Every one of them, they should be all charged because they're all complicit. They're all complicit. They're all complicit in this Trump syndrome cult, which is what it is. It's a syndrome. And the other one I wanted to play for you was, and I'll play that as soon as I get my studio back up. Michael Horn interviews the young lady who was in charge of the inauguration. She was a good friend of Melania. She helped Melania get through. She knew Melania when she was a cheap-ass model from some European country who didn't know shit. But she helped Melania because this woman was in, and I can't remember, well, I can't remember exactly what she did was she did a major, major historical, maybe it was the Historical Society, I can't remember. She was in charge of putting together the program. And Mia, since she was good friends with her, said, look, would you like to put on the inauguration ball? Which they, no matter what who it is, it's a major coup. And she said, don't worry about the money, we got the money. They had over $100 million. Here's the one thing, though. They could not get a name act. They were, said, oh, yeah, we'll get everybody. They'll want to do it. She said she called people that she knew that were famous to put on performance for her in her capacity before. And they said, hell no, we're not doing it. We're not going to do it. She couldn't get anybody. They had high schoolers. They had that one fool who was thrown off Major League, National Football League. They had him who sang the opening for Monday Night Football. They had him, and they had that fool with the gun. I forgot his name. So they had two country and western singers. That's all they had. Nobody else wanted to be a part of this. And aren't they glad now to see what was left? It's been pitiful. It's been really, really pitiful. So the people that did not get involved with this man are so glad. They are so, so glad. Because they would never be able to get around anything. And I am so glad that I had a few moments with you guys, because I just don't know what I could be doing here, as far as I can't even get any music to go off of. This is incredible. I can't call up any of my studio here. I don't know what the story is. We're going to have to try to get around this for our next show. I'm going to be calling these people. Found what the hell the story is with my studio here, why my studio is not working. And when we get to with that, then we'll be able to figure out what else is wrong. But ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for putting up with my nonsense and for all the things that that have happened in this incredible. Okay, so I can't get any further than that. Well, that's it. As Michael Corleone said in one of his famous statements, if I can call it up. Let's see.
I went to the police like a good American. These two boys were brought to trial. The judge sentenced them to 3 years in prison and suspended the sentence. Suspended the sentence. They went free that very day. I stood in the courtroom like a fool. And those two bastards, they smiled at me. Then I said to my wife, for justice, we must go to Don Corleone.
Why did you go to the police? Why didn't you come to me first?
What do you want of me? Tell me anything, but do what I beg you to do.
What is that? Each other many years, but this is the first time you ever came to me for counsel, for help. I can't remember the last time that you invited me to your house for a cup of coffee. Even though my wife is godmother to your only child. But let's be frank, you never wanted my friendship. And you were afraid to be in my debt.
I didn't want to get into trouble.
I understand. You found paradise in America. Had a good trade, made a good living. Police protected you, and there were courts of law. And you didn't need a friend like me. But now you come to me and you say, Don Corleone, give me justice. But you don't ask with respect. You don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me Godfather. Instead, you come into my house on the day my daughter's to be married, and you ask me for the murder, money.
I ask you for justice.
That is not justice. Your daughter is still alive.
Let him suffer then. She suffers. How much shall I pay you?
What have I ever done to make you treat me so disrespectfully? If you'd come to me in friendship, then the scum that ruined your daughter would be suffering this very day. And if by chance an honest man like yourself should make enemies, then he would become my enemies. And then they would fear you.
Be my friend. Godfather.
Good. Someday, and that day may never come, I'll call upon you to do a service for me. But until that day, accept this justice as a gift on my daughter's wedding day.
Grazie. Yes, madam.
Wait. Give this to Clemente. I want reliable people, people that aren't going to be carried away. I mean, we're not murderers, in spite of what this undertaker says.
Yep. We're not murderers, despite what this undertaker says. So who do we go to seek justice for what this person in the White House, this armed man in the White House, has done to us for 4 years? Who do we seek out for justice? The country needs justice. Who do we seek out? Who do we seek out for justice? This is where we are today. Who do we seek out for justice? And then yes, and I can't get it up here. So therefore, yeah, who do we seek out for justice? That is going to be our next official job. We'll be appointing the new Attorney General, who's going to be the Attorney General for this entire country. Not the Attorney General for the President of the United States. Not the Attorney General or the private lawyer for the President of the United States. The Attorney General is not, that's not his job, to be the personal lawyer of the President of the United States. The last Attorney General did that went to jail during the Nixon administration. The last Attorney General who even got involved in anything like that was under George H.W. Bush because of the Contra conflict. But he didn't go to jail. He just got a little dusted up. But that's not their job. The President of the United States is a citizen just like you and me. He's not permitted to do anything illegal. And when he leaves office, he can't be prosecuted. Well, that needs to change, I believe. That needs to change in a little respect. The President of the United States cannot go and say, I can shoot anybody. I can pull out a gun and shoot someone at Fifth Avenue and nobody would care. That cannot be the truth anymore. That can't be the truth. We cannot have a president who has that mentality. We, the people of the United States, cannot have a president that thinks like this.
The question is, do I have a God complex?
Dr. Kessler says yes.
Which makes me wonder if this lawyer has any idea as to the kind of grades one has to receive in college to be accepted at a top medical school. If you have the vaguest clue as to how talented someone has to be to lead a surgical team. I have an MD from Harvard. I am board certified in cardiothoracic medicine and trauma surgery. I have been awarded citations from 7 different medical boards in New England, and I am never, ever sick at sea. So I ask you, when someone goes into that chapel and they fall on their knees and they pray to God that their wife doesn't miscarry, or that their daughter doesn't bleed to death, or that their mother doesn't suffer acute neural trauma from post-operative shock, who do you think they're praying to? Now, you go ahead and read your Bible, Dennis, and you go to your church, and with any luck, you might win the annual raffle, but if you're looking for God, he was in operating room number 2 on November 17th, and he doesn't like to be second-guessed. You ask me if I have a God complex? Let me tell you something. I am God.
Well, he is not God. There's only one God. And he's not on this planet. He's not on any planet. He's up in the universe, looking down on all of us. But the red man, the orange man in the White House, believes he is God. That he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, to whoever he wants. That's not true. And as the last scene in the White House, in God the Wind went.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
That's right. That's what's going to happen when Ivanka and the Donald are leaving the White House. And she gets multiple subpoenas. That's what he's going to say to her. It's every person. There's only one life over here, and I got it. And he's going to tell her, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. You can show me anything, but I don't give a damn. It's me I care about. This is what this man is saying and has been saying for so long. This is what this man has been saying for so long, and people have not been able to see it. Why? I have no idea. We who knew this man, even in passing, knew this man. New difference. But as Clint Eastwood said,
man's got to know his limitations. Man's got.
Yeah, that's right. Man's got to know his limitations. And he did not know his limitations. He does not know his limitations. And you remember the movie Cool Hand Luke? You remember what the overlord said to Luke?
Don't you ever talk that way to me. Never! Never! What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Hey, some men we just can't reach, and we will never reach. But whose problem is that? And you remember what Sylvester Stallone told this killer in Cobra. This is what he told him.
Your disease, and I'm the cure.
He told him, you're the disease, and Biden and Harris are the cure. That's what it's come down to be. Trump is the disease, and Biden and Harris are the cure. Just remember that. This is where we're at here. Remember what he was saying a long time ago, Trump. Remember what he said? He never wanted to run against Biden. You remember that? Well, this is what we're telling him now.
I'm laughing at the superior intellect.
The problem is, he doesn't have a superior intellect. It was all in his mind. And people let him think that way. They let him think that way. And we have been saying for such a long time, we have been saying for such a long time.
So long as he's alive, I tremble, I shake. I'm the king, and yet I shake. Will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest? A priest.
Said, this is what Trump was saying about Biden. He feared him the most. He feared him the most. And he said, will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest? Because he couldn't get anything on this priest. Lying and just making up stories. That's all it was. That's all you could do. And Biden, in his way, was laughing at him.
Gotham City always brings a smile to my face. Wing freak terrorizes.
Yeah, well, this is what Trump thought when he was coming into office. Wait till they get a load of me. But this is going to be a major problem for him, because as Joe Scarborough was saying a few, well, about a year or so ago, he said, what Trump said about not accepting the outcome of the election.
Measured, like, a good analysis.
I think you're exactly right. And I've got to say, and Nick and I both agree, he shouldn't have said it. It was wrong to say. But if you're fighting for your life, if you're fighting for your job in Pennsylvania or Ohio, you're not freaking out like elites in Manhattan or Georgetown over that answer. You're listening about trade. You're listening about bringing jobs back to America. You're listening about a corrupt America. But there is no doubt that is all elites are going to be listening to. Again, it is, let me say again very clearly.
Harold for Hillary wants to speak.
Okay, let me say again very
grossly unfair. I am for her.
Can I finish what I was going to say?
Well,
then
you got that little Donald Trump quip. That's fine. I'd love to
I'm not going to have any Donald Trump quip.
Okay.
I just want to finish
so
what
finish.
I was
sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Say if I can, that would be awesome.
Yes, sir.
I think what he did was wrong. I would have never answered it that way. I think for elites, though, and media people that have said, the New York Times have just openly said their position, their editorial policy is to be oppositionally opposed to Donald Trump, to try to boil that entire debate down to that one answer is very predictable.
In Pennsylvania, there are kids that play soccer games, football games, and basketball games. So at the end of that game, if the parents who lose say, we won't accept the outcome because the referee made three bad calls in the second and third
totally
quarter.
Agree with that.
But he didn't say he wasn't going to accept the outcome.
That's exactly what he said.
No, that's what he said.
No, he said he was going to look. He was
going to wait. That is the leap that everybody has made. And you look on Twitter, and
that's
everybody
where,
is saying
that's
that
where
he's saying he
Pennsylvania
won't
plays
accept
a role
it.
In this conversation.
He said he won't accept
They're
it.
Watch the
he
soccer
never
game.
Said that, which is extraordinary. The leap that all the media has made when he said,
and I'm not defending
him.
Not for him.
Well,
for Hillary.
We got Senator Kaine here, but I just got a text message from an assistant district attorney in Suffolk County, Massachusetts.
That's
makes
big.
$45,000 a year.
Right.
He's not an elite.
Right.
He is part of what he says.
Yeah.
I'm sick of no one calling this guy out for what he is, a coward. This guy is so afraid of either accepting his own failure or of the perception of others that he's a failure that he's willing to use his platform to try to implode the literal bedrock of our democracy. That guy's not an elite.
Okay.
Imploding the literal bedrock of American democracy. This sounds to me, I would just say to my ears,
I'm not
going to
accept this
war. He didn't say that.
That's exactly what he said.
No,
You can characterize it any way you want, but that's exactly what he said last night.
Literally, you look at the words, that is not what he said. He said he would wait. Mika and I are both opposed to it, but we're also opposed to people projecting and expanding upon what he said, and it's the same thing too. This sounds so much like those little Republican congressmen after Obamacare and every Barack Obama bill gets passed, and they go, tonight, freedom died a death. And it's like every 3 weeks, freedom has died a death. Well, every 3 weeks, Donald Trump has done something that will destroy the Republic. The Republic will survive.
I think he's done a lot worse.
With us now, the Democratic vice presidential and nominee, I can't call you the vice president yet, and Senator of Virginia, Tim Kaine. He's live from Charlotte, North Carolina, where early voting is already getting underway today. Go ahead, let me tee it up for you. How did Hillary do last night?
Well, I thought she did great. I thought the demeanor and the level of preparation was very, very strong. And there were some, you know, key moments in the debate. You guys are talking about one and trying to put it in context. Let me put it this way. If all Donald Trump had said was, we'll wait and see. And he hadn't been for weeks talking about the fact that the election was rigged, challenging the ability of America to produce a sound democratic election, then it wouldn't have been a big story. But the fact that he's been pushing this notion that if he loses, it's got to be because things are rigged against him, that's why the moment was so powerful. I lived in a military...
Now, that was 4 years ago. He was not going to accept the outcome back then. I said 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, I meant 47 years ago. 4 years ago. So this is what we were facing back then. This is what we will look at back. That's what we will look at then. Now we have Mike Pence, the secretary, the vice president, and his secretary, really, because he says, yes, sir, everything he says. His whole staff, practically, has the coronavirus, from his chief of staff down. I mean, what do we expect of this? What can we expect of this? I mean, it's just abominable. It is just abominable. We have to put up with this nonsense. It's just abominable. There is nothing worse than having a punk for a president of the United States. Nothing worse. Nothing worse than having a punk as a president of the United States, which is what we have. A punk as president. Now, just because you didn't go into the military, just because you did not okay everything that this man says, doesn't mean that you are not an American. But this man is not an American. Listen to what Steve Schmidt said.
Are you surprised that so many people are in on that effort with him?
Well, look, at the end, Nicole, what's the rationale for the reelection? He's wrecked the country. He's done unbelievable damage. He didn't do it alone. He did it with his factotum. He did it with his collaborators and accomplices in the United States Senate. The lie he told is the biggest, most lethal lie in American history. You know, 250,000 dead people. If the numbers were the same as Germany, we'd have 150,000 more of us alive. Shattered economy, schooling for every kid in the country's wrecked. America's way of life, our rituals as we begin or in the middle of the fall, it's all gone. So this is the most inept, the most maliced president. He's divided the country. His record is one of total failure. He's the greatest failure in the history of the United States. And I don't say that with hyperbole. It's not even a close contest. He's the worst president the country's ever had. So what we see now is we have intimations of violence should he lose. We have the vice president, the second highest official in the land, refusing just to say clearly that we'll have a peaceful transition of power, that the American people are in charge, that the American people decide who the president is, and that, of course, we're going to have a free and fair election. They can't bring themselves to do it. So what this is a, what you're seeing, this is a rancid, corrupt, autocratic ideology. It's not classically liberal. It's an amalgam of all of these discarded, toxic ideologies that are part of America's history, from the Dixiecrat movement, the Jim Crow movement, the segregationists. We have the militia movement in there. You know, Trumpism is an extremist movement, and you're seeing extremists do what they do. He's planting the seeds for the stab in the back. He'll blame everybody. I'm sure that in Trump's mind, when he looks at how he got COVID. We saw it. Blame the Gold Star families. He looks at the American people and he thinks, wow, the American people, they're filthy. They infected me with COVID. They betrayed me. The reason he'll lose, the reason he'll step away from power, it'll never be his fault. It'll always be the conspiracy against him. And the danger we'll have in this country for some time is because of Trump, we're going to have 30% of the country that will never accept the legitimacy of the election. And here's the danger as we look ahead to the next election after this one. Used to be you want to run for president, you're in the Democratic Party, you go to Iowa, you give a speech establishing your liberal and progressive bona fides. You're a Republican, you do the same talking to conservatives. But now all of these candidates are going to have to go express their conspiracy theory bona fides to the 30% of the country that will believe that the election was stolen from Trump. They're the majority of the Republican Party. And the direction, because of Trump, this is all trending in, we have 180 QAnon candidates in 2020. Trust me when I tell you, we'll have 1,800 of them in 2022, and we might have 18,000 of them in 2024. So what Trump has set loose in this country is going to take a long time to get down, to get back underground, to get back in the box. But it is going down. Make no mistake about that.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Thanks for watching MSNBC on YouTube. If you want to keep up to date with the videos we're putting out, you can click subscribe just below me or click over on this list to see lots of other great videos.
Okay, so that was it. That was it. The man has lied through his teeth. No one but Steve Schmidt tells it expressly like he does. No one. No one at all. And that's a, it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. This man has been a person that does not care. Does not care. And when we're a country that has to be able to tell stories, tell what it is to our people, what do you think is going to happen when we are now telling what our story actually is? Who's going to believe us? I don't know who will believe us. I have no idea who would believe us. No idea who would believe us and why they would believe us. Why would anybody believe us after this man has taken every single thing that we know of and turned it around so people who have now taken. It's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. It is just unbelievable. What are we to do? What are we to do? What are we to do? Well, that's all I can say about it. Because I don't show any other way. Now, I wish I had some more things to bring up. We got a couple of more minutes here, but I'm going to let's see what else I can bring up here. We got another minute and 40 seconds. Okay. So, if I can, let me bring up one other thing here that I had on the docket here that I was going to say. No, wasn't it? So let's go here. Okay. Early voting is unbelievable. More Democrats, 10% more Democrats have voted in early elections in Florida Arizona, 16%. Michigan, 24%. North Carolina, 14%. Wisconsin, 22%. And Pennsylvania, 46% more. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. I hope everything is brought back to normal. Well, plus the we'll be back on before the election. But the AT&T call me, any agents calling back. But have a great, great rest of the weekend. And my Dodgers need to win tonight. Kershaw's pitching. And then tomorrow we'll win with Bueller. Everybody have a great weekend. Bye. I don't even have any music to go off with. So have a great weekend. And Larry Katz, if you're listening, hey, stay drunk. That's all I got to say. Bye.